Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Ray Pritchard, and we thank you for listening. Joining us now in the studio is Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
You're wondering, and you're a new listener, and you're wondering, why is that Steve's middle name?
Might as well be.
I gave Steve that name because he oft wears Paisley.
He's wearing it today.
And you got it on today. Absolutely. Yeah. You're wearing donning. That's the first time I've used donning all year. It's in November. Donning a Paisley shirt there.
I consider myself a fashionista.
You ought to form the Paisley Party.
Sartorial splendor.
And run for office under the Paisley banner.
Yeah, new party.
It's what we need. Another party.
Right.
All right, so we thank you for listening to AFR today. Fred, before we get to Steve's top story, we wanted to mention a couple of things. Steve can comment on this, but a couple of things having to do with anti-Semitism in America that seems to be growing.
Oh, no question about it. We have demonstrations. Most of the demonstrations so far have been pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas. There was an encounter, though, in the last 48 hours in Ventura County, California, Southern California. There was a pro-Israel group of people, but then there was also this pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian group, and there was an encounter. One of the elderly Jewish man, Paul Kessler is his name, he had a physical altercation, the police are calling it, with one of the pro-Palestinian protesters, and Mr. Kessler fell backwards, struck his head on the ground. According to a statement from the sheriff's department, Mr. Kessler has passed away. Police are now say the autopsy was done. He died of a blunt force head injury, and they are now considering it a homicide, and it may be called a hate crime. And so this is the it's being investigated, but it's one of those things. The tensions are extremely high right now. With what's going on between the Palestinian community and many times in this case, the Jewish community. But then there's another story out of Indianapolis. Police there have arrested a woman who they have labeled a terrorist after she drove her car into a building that she thought was a Jewish school. However, in reality, and I guess she thought it was a Jewish school because they had a logo on the outside that included the Star of David. But the reality was there were other markings on that Star of David. In fact, it was a group of anti-Semites. So she has been charged and arrested, 34-year-old woman, preliminary charge of criminal recklessness, but they're also considering a hate crime against her. So those are just two incidents, one in Indianapolis, one in the Los Angeles area. And it doesn't sound like it's going to be letting up at all. The tensions are extremely high right now. We saw, as we've been talking about, the huge demonstration in Washington, D.C., and some of the interviews that were done, including people who believe that Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth. It's bringing out the anti-Semitism that has been there for a long, long time. And it's something that this administration is going to have to deal with. But as we're pointing out just before the break, there is a divide within the Democratic Party right now. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to play Jared Moskovitz. He's a Democrat from Florida. He is calling out Rashida Tlaib, who is kind of the leader amongst Democrats against the Jewish nation. And he says he's a Democrat. He's Jewish. He says Rashida Tlaib should be censured for her comments on the Israel war. Cut number five.
And the final solution means exactly what Hitler meant it to mean. From the river to the sea is calling for the destruction of an entire country. Period. Full stop. And so, look, Congresswoman has a First Amendment right. She can say whatever she wants. But at the same time, Congress has the ability to express their displeasure with a fellow colleague of ours calling for the destruction of a country.
So the divide is
That's two Democrats?
Two Democrats. Yeah. Rashida Tlaib and Jared Moskowitz.
Is he Jewish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. That's a big problem for the Democrats. I don't know how they're going to resolve it because it's like a Grand Canyon of difference. And this isn't about rate of taxation difference.
No.
Or, you know, regulations or whatever. This is a worldview that's irreconcilable, at least to me at this point.
And you had Tlaib the other day. She made a video threatening Joe Biden.
Yeah.
That you better
not physically, but
threatening Joe Biden, saying, right, you know, 2024, we're going to remember this, Joe Biden,
right,
that you supported.
What are they
going to
do, vote Republican, though? I don't know where they go. You know, wouldn't surprise me, guys, if 10 years from now, there's four political parties in America.
Could be.
They'd have to, because it would never survive with three.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if 10 years from now there are four viable political parties.
What would those four parties be?
Well, let's say the Democrat Party divided along the lines right here of
over Israel.
Yeah. Again, I'm thinking on the go here, which isn't always good for Tim.
We got you, Tim.
Okay.
It would probably be socialist and then Democrat, like the squad would go to one party.
Yeah, I'm just saying this is a divisive issue, so divisive that you just like Tlaib is saying, you're going to vote for somebody else. So maybe 20, 25, 30% of the party, Democrat Party, says we're not going with the traditional Democrats anymore. We're going with another party. Forming another party.
Sort of like a hard left party.
Yes. Well,
but it's
yes.
not just this issue. You got Joe Manchin in West Virginia.
Yeah.
He may leave the party over the energy issues.
Yeah.
Petroleum, the climate change, the radical climate change.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different
things. Yeah, Republican Party could split up too. Who knows? You know?
America First and Establishment.
You could go, huh?
America
First. Well, it would depend on what happens post Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because right now, for a lot of people, the Republican Party is whatever Donald Trump says it is. And then there are a lot of people who say, no, I don't like that. I want it to be more about principles. And so I'm saying that. But, you know, Mr. Trump, former President Trump, one way or another, will be elected mm-hmm. president or he will not be. So one way or another, that will be.
You think he's going to go away if he's not elected?
Well, he will have to go away after 4 years.
Well, if he's not elected,
if he was not convicted and he is elected, he'll yes. be president for 4 years. Yes. And that way, but that's what I'm saying. Whether it's this year or 4 years from now, post Trump, what does the Republican Party look like? Would be my question. That it could divide, it could split up. I mean, we've had that happen in our history. Now, Republican and Democrat have been the two main parties for 100 years.
Uh-huh.
So that's lasted a long time. Democrat Party could have split up over Bernie Sanders and Hillary and Joe Biden, but it didn't. They held their coalition together. You remember that? Because basically Bernie Sanders was beating everybody in the Democrat field in 2020. And that's when the Democrats' leadership said, you know, we can't afford to put Bernie Sanders up there. Americans are not going to elect a socialist, but we got to have somebody that can win, and Biden is the best chance. And so they all coalesced against around him, and even Bernie Sanders probably resented having to do it, but even he endorsed Biden, and they got their coalition back together, which does normally work in politics. You have divisions in politics, and in the end, they all – Republicans rally against around there whoever the Republican candidate is, and the Democrats do the same.
Was it Teddy that was the last non-Republican, or didn't he get elected by the Bull Moose Party at one point?
Look that up, Steve. That'd be a good trivia question.
Yeah, okay. Don't listen
Bull,
to everybody.
The Bull Moose Party? Whatever happened to them?
Yeah, where'd those guys go?
Hunting season came along, and they're gone.
And they just vanished.
Sounded like an elk club or something, or a civic club.
Teddy Roosevelt was elected
By what?
Bull Moose Party.
I thought he was a Republican.
Well, he was. I think he did two terms.
Teddy? You're talking about Teddy Roosevelt, right?
Teddy, yes.
He was
nominated as the Bull Moose candidate, I guess. So,
I thought he was a Republican.
Well, he was.
He was.
Was.
Well, so where's Bull Moose come in? Are they part of the Republicans?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
All right.
I think it was a third party that they tried to get him elected on, but it was a strong challenge. So,
I got you. Hey, two more important matters. You got a story to talk about, right?
Yep, I do.
Go ahead.
All right. The insurers are speaking up. These are people that insure the largest insurance companies. They have a coalition together. It's called the largest insurers, and they are saying that they have seen an alarming increase in deaths and death payouts among young and healthy people.
Hmm.
They're saying that Americans in their prime of life are inexplicably dying at a record pace, causing a monumental outflow of death claims, and they're wondering whether or not the insurance industry can weather this storm. Insurance deaths saw death benefits rise 15%, more than 15% in 2020, the biggest one-year increase since the Spanish flu epidemic, followed by a $100 billion in payouts, nearly double the historic norm. And they're arguing over whether it's COVID and or the vaccine. Y'all mentioned fentanyl in our story meeting. In this article, they don't mention that at all, but I think it is a factor. But a large amount, the Society of Actuaries are reporting this.
Well, the reason I wanted to, I'm really careful, and you know, in our show prep meetings
right.
that we have here, we're really careful to not present information that's unsubstantiated or that's, I mean, sometimes I guess we do talk about, we do speculate. That's part of the talk show
right.
business. But if we're going to bring up something as serious as what you're talking about, we want to have some kind of credible source. And you're saying this is coming from the insurance industry?
It is.
And repeat again the headline here.
Insurance industry say they are alarmed by a surge in deaths among young people. An almost unsustainable surge in death. Up 15%.
Do they say what the cause of death is? The leading cause of death? Do they say that?
No, they're debating that. In this article, they're debating between whether it's COVID, long COVID, or the vaccine. There's the
they even mentioned the vaccine in
yes,
there?
Yes. The study itself, this is Children's Health Defense. It's a website where I got this. The study itself says that it finds no connection between historic U.S. death rates and insurance payouts starting in 2021 and the vaccine. However, other reports that they are citing in this article say more than a million COVID-19 vaccine-linked injuries, disabilities, and more than 30,000 deaths are being reported by doctors via the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Okay, Steve, I want to ask your opinion. By the yes. way, this article Steve's reading from, we put on our Today's Issues Facebook page. So you can read it for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, what I'm about to ask you is your opinion based on everything you've read.
Yes,
okay?
sir.
Okay? So I'm not asking you to be a scientist with clinical data to report. But you said something in our meeting this morning about you have long been skeptical of the COVID vaccine shots.
Yeah.
As being harmful on a scale that the medical professionals aren't willing to talk about, right?
Some
are, but
they're on the outs.
So yes. What were you saying this morning about the COVID vaccine itself that may be happening here?
So there was a study out for the last week or two that found that the spike protein that is part of the mRNA COVID shot, that it's supposed to go after the COVID virus and then disappear, but they are finding it is lasting a lot longer than these are studies which I believe, so it is my opinion, but it is backed by research, that the COVID spike protein has lasted a whole lot longer than they thought it was and found in a whole lot more places, including the heart muscle, the brain. And
would that explain the rise in myocarditis?
Myocarditis, that is a strong indicator of that, yes.
And that is most dangerous to young males, evidently.
Yes. Every day, it seems, I'm seeing another story, and that may be a little overstatement, but certainly once or twice a week, I'm seeing a story about a healthy basketball player or soccer player or whatever that had a heart attack that, you know, LeBron James's son had. I mean, he survived, and he's okay. But, I mean, these are athletes, young, fit people, and they're having heart attacks. You just don't hear about that absent this. And some people say it could be COVID itself, but there's a lot of study. There are studies now that suggest that the vaccine and the spike protein introduced in the vaccine is what is.
Ray, you got any thoughts on this?
Well, I think at long last, once the heavy-handed government suppression of information, which we've talked about, how you couldn't say, quote, the I word and so on, that we've experienced here at AFR, but you see it on social media. Now that heavy hand has been lifted somewhat, articles like this are being published. The truth now is beginning to come out that this vaccine was not the panacea everybody thought it was going to be.
Fred?
Steve, wasn't there also a story that you had about hydroxychloroquine being an effective treatment? That all of a sudden there's been a change. Remember, it was condemned. The CDC, Fauci, and everybody else saying how ridiculous. Of course, the media chimed in with Fauci. Yes, you know, it's horse medicine and all this kind of stuff. But now they're coming out and saying, oh, wait a minute now. We think maybe hydroxychloroquine would be a good treatment.
This is the National Institutes of Health.
Oh, really?
Yes. This is a study, October 5th. This is actually from 2020. It says hydroxychloroquine is effective and consistently so when provided early for COVID-19. This was suppressed, but they're finding. I've seen a similar study that was from this lately. Mm-hmm. September 26, 2023. Hydroxychloroquine. Is more effective than placebos. So, it's out there.
What I had a problem with. When the vaccines were being promoted, the COVID vaccines, okay, I think most all of us said yay, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, sure.
Because we needed relief mm-hmm. from this COVID pandemic, and it was killing people.
Especially older people.
Older people, it was going to their lungs. People were dying. I mean, and so it was dangerous, especially for people who had underlying health conditions. I know two people personally. I know more than that, but I mean, these were fairly close personal friends, and they died. One of them had diabetes, and the other one had another ailment, a lung condition. But they got the COVID, went to their lungs, and they passed away, sadly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was dangerous, especially early on, and that second round. However, when the vaccines came out, the COVID vaccines came out and were being pushed and promoted, I think what a lot of Americans resented was we were being told that if you didn't get this, that you were being irresponsible, you were, quote, killing people, and you were a science denier.
Yep.
Remember that?
Joe Biden says you weren't a good patriot.
We were being...
Unpatriotic.
Okay. We were being shamed mm-hmm. publicly. Yep. All right. But the same people would say that were saying it's an experimental vaccine shot. And I'm going, why does somebody want to shame somebody for not taking an experimental vaccine shot that we don't know the long-term implications of? Taking it. How can you know the long-term ramifications of taking a shot if you haven't had a long term.
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of medical professionals did say, well, this is safe and effective and it's not going to have any long term. Well, what did you expect them to say? A lot of them, they were pushing and promoting the vaccine shots. And I at the time I thought, well, if you want to take the vaccine shot, go for it. Right? Go for it. But don't try to guilt trip people who don't want to take it, because it is not a time proven vaccine like smallpox, for example, or polio. It's been around for decades and decades. This is something that you don't know.
Yep.
You don't know exactly what the long-term implications are in somebody's on somebody's health from taking a vaccine like was being promoted. Does that make sense?
And you know, Tim,
go ahead, Ray.
The real problem here is that you were being punished.
Yes.
If you were being punished if you even dared to ask those
questions. Yes.
Right? Yes.
So you couldn't even say what you just said without getting
blackballed. People in our military were, Fred knows this firsthand, he had a family member.
Were thrown out.
Because they wouldn't take an experimental shot. That's just not American. That's
thousands of military people.
And we all know people who lost their jobs. Many are listening right now, lost their jobs because they wouldn't.
Yes. Healthcare workers.
Huh?
Thousands of healthcare workers
lost
their job.
Even after it was proven that the COVID vaccine shot did not stop COVID.
That's what we were told first.
That's what we were told at first. And we learned that it didn't stop you from getting it. And it didn't stop you from spreading it.
Yes.
But yet we were told that, I think, by the CDC director. Didn't she say that? I know Biden did.
Yes, Biden did. Yeah, if you don't take the shot, your grandma won't be at the Christmas table. I remember those little fireside speeches from Joe Biden.
Well, and everybody who didn't want to take it, we were called country bumpkin, ignorant yahoos who believed in flat earth. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a public shaming.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, that was a sad chapter in our country's history. But again, I'm not faulting people who wanted to take it, because everybody had to do their own research and make their own decision. And we were trying to do so in real time, not having the advantage of having years of looking back and doing. But now Steve's saying there is some research.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Looking back, and the vaccine shots.
The trend now, and I'm seeing,
we're not so innocent.
I saw this with regard to the school closures, where people are now saying, yes, we asked for school closures. Yes, it harmed people. But, oh, come on, we were doing the best we could. Can't we have grace? We didn't know.
Yeah.
To which a lot of people are saying, we told you. At the time, we told you. We knew. And
yeah,
that, so
I do give people a lot of grace during that first 6 months or so, because it was just, you know, who knew exactly?
We were all scrambling at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't hold. I give a lot of people grace on that first 6 months. It was like, what do we do? How do we do it? What's going to happen? All this. There's so much that we did not know.
But if they try it again, the American people aren't going to buy it.
Oh, no, no.
That's right.
Not going to work. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
Ray, appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, folks, for listening to the program today. Hope you remember to go out and vote now. Go vote. Go vote today. Today's voting day, and we'll know what happens today, tomorrow.
Hopefully.
That's the way it works. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.